Welcome back. Back at it again with the white vans.
And if you don't know that reference, you're too young to be here. Just kidding.
That's so valid. As long
as long as you have permission, if you're underage, we're happy to have you.
I'm so dead. We do say some bad words sometimes. We try our best.
I know. We do our best. But listen, the kids these days, I think they watch much worse than what you sports
is
putting out there.
I was just about to say, I think I've heard worse from the people watching our videos.
That's what I'm saying. So we do what we can.
Who really knows? Let's be honest here.
Back at it again. We're back, baby.
Look at us. Two times in one whole week. We did it. Back to normal. I know you missed us just being on your phones and computers and in your ears and things like that. Yeah, all of it.
And just to let you know, for all of you that have been actually curious about where our football episodes have been, we will have one out for you next Wednesday.
So here's the thing. When we started the NFL season, obviously there was no basketball yet. And then the basketball season started and we were doing football and basketball. And it was like billions of players and billions of teams. And we were doing it. We both have 9-to-5s and lives. And it was just so much. And so we kind of wanted to take a break from football.
We weren't getting as much love we didn't know if anyone cared.
That is so true. That is so true. And like, but that's why we decided to take a break from football, because like basketball videos were getting a lot of love and we weren't getting a ton on football, but we were literally spending like 20 hours a week doing like the work on it, like watching film and watching games and taking notes and doing research. And we just like weren't really getting the return on it. But we're like, you know what? We've had lots of people ask where our football episodes have been. So we are going to bring them back for the last few weeks. And for
especially now that we're getting into like the seriousness of it all. So obviously this is an NBA episode. But for those of you that are dual sport fans, we just wanted to let you know that.
Yep. We will be back next week. And I'm so excited for it.
And it also made sense for us because I think there's only 3 NBA games Monday and Tuesday night. So there's not a lot happening. Sure. Yeah.
Why is that? It's because of the NBA Cup. These are like the rescheduled games for like the teams that didn't make it, I think. Or maybe they're the games for the people that did make it. So just a couple of teams.
I don't know. The Nuggets now play the Clippers next Friday at home because of the NBA Cup. But like, why are we playing an NBA Cup game if we're eliminated from NBA Cup contention?
It's not an NBA Cup game. It's rescheduled because they had all the teams have like an opening for like next week and everything like that when the other teams that make it for the NBA Cup are in Vegas. So they had to literally wait to schedule certain games before like finding out who's in the NBA Cup. So the NBA Cup teams will play the NBA Cup games and the other teams that didn't make it just got like random scheduled games.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome. I'm just so smart sometimes. Sometimes I know things.
You know so many things.
Here's the thing, guys. If you don't watch a lot of basketball, you won't know this, but the Pelicans have had like their entire starting five out. Not really. 4 of their starting five has been out and injured.
Squad.
Pretty much all season. Exactly. Even some of like their bench players have been injured throughout the season and everything like that. So I've been calling them the Skeleton Pelicans. And they have been literally playing with guys. Exactly. Literally. They've been playing with guys from the G League. You know, they're two-way players. They're deep bench players. And they have been getting their butts kicked. And I feel so bad.
But they beat the Nuggets.
That is true. That is true. When you want to know who else they beat, the KD-less Suns yesterday. It was Herb Jones' first game back. And they ended up beating the Suns by 2. And Herb Jones played pretty dang great yesterday. What a fantastic first game back. He hasn't played since October. So like a month and a half, almost 2 months, I think. And he came out And he was like, did you miss me? Did you miss me, guys? Because he's probably like their only, you know, like real player right now. No offense to like the rest of the Pelican players, okay? Because the rest of the Pelican players are just fine, okay? They've been holding down the fort, but Herb Jones is a big piece of their team, and he had a pretty good game. I mean, he didn't shoot great, but I don't expect anyone coming back from an injury and coming back from multiple months being out to shoot perfect their first night back unless you're Steph Curry, okay? Even then. But he was a defensive menace. It was so fun to watch. He had 12 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, and a block. And I don't really care much about this game besides the fact that did you watch the last 2.7 seconds? Did you see that video? Okay. So Herb Jones, it was so good. So let's see. The Suns were down 2. I think it was the final score. Yeah, it was 124 to 126, 2.7 seconds left. The Suns inbounded the ball and it gets to Devin Booker. And Herb Jones played, I mean, I know it's only 2.7 seconds, but like, Herb Jones did not even let Devin Booker attempt to get a shot up. Like, the way that the defense was played, he was all up on him. No fouls. Arms were literally straight out, and my guy was, like, back-to-back on Devin Booker. It was incredible. He played such good defense. Devin Booker didn't even get a shot off. Pelicans won by 2. So, good for them for pulling out that win against a really good team.
CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, Trey Murphy, DeJounte Murray, they all, like, contributed to their scoring, which you kind of have to do. If you're going to want to beat the Suns, even though they're out KD, they still have Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, which you never know what kind of night those guys are going to have.
Totally.
Do we think Zion is like ever going to be healthy though? Like,
no.
For the Pelicans?
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I've been saying that, I think, for the last year or two. I just feel like every time he comes back, here's the thing, and I'm not even like, I don't even think it's necessarily his fault. He's a giant dude. He is gigantic. Like, it is so hard to stay healthy when you are carrying the weight of all of that. Yeah. Like 24/7, the weight of just how big he is, sprinting up and down and dunking. I mean, we're going to talk about Ja Morant in a minute, but like, imagine someone as little as Ja Morant dunking is dangerous. And then you have Zion, who's like the most giant dude in the world, dunking. You land on those knees, my guy, your knees are out for the week. Out for the month, out for the year.
Out for the season.
They've left, and I mean,
they've left the arena.
They are gone. They will not be back. I don't even know when Zion's coming back. They said that he's been out for a month and that he's not even close. They said he is not even close to coming back.
Yeah. The Pelicans just remind me of like the Atlanta Hawks almost every year where it's like, they play really, really good sometimes. Uh-huh. And you're like, oh, wow, like this team is kind of impressive. And then they never end the season impressive. Like they always.
And then.
the rope, it's like you're playing tug of war and like the other team just like yanks it out of their hands. And that's how it feels like.
Totally.
The Western Conference is like, psych!
not you.
No, not you. No way, no how. Them and the Kings.
Bottom of the barrel, bestie.
I think they're going to be really good. And then you're a play-in team again. Sorry. God,
I feel like, okay, and I feel like you can quote me on this or correct me on this, but when we were talking about ranking the teams earlier in the season, before the season even started, Spencer and I did a like preseason rank the teams, and I literally think I had the Pelicans super low because I was like, they have no one. Like, they got rid of like a few players, and so they were already like pretty skin and bones, but skin and bones with a lot of really good players. I mean, Jose Alvarado, Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, Herb Jones.
Center.
Literally, DeJounte Murray, Zion Williamson. Like, you're supposed to be good. You have the makings of being good, but you had 5 injured players, and so now you have no one, and now your season's screwed.
It's all right, I guess.
And then obviously KD came back for like a game or two and then got injured again. And now he's getting reevaluated in a week.
Can I just say, Caitlin and I have said the Suns are going to be a fine offensive team and like a fine regular season, probably that team, and especially that team without KD, are not contenders. I digress, as I've said.
No, nope. I've said cannot several get it times done. Too. Yes, they can. And I mean, like, you and I have talked about this too. As a whole healthy team, they can be incredible. As a whole healthy team. But they'll never be whole or healthy. So, I mean, they're nothing. And even when they are whole and healthy, they're still not deep enough to take them through the playoffs. So.
Yeah. And again, I mean, they're... their issues at center are they're just good. So, as
look,
I said,
I have the Spencer twitch.
I have no faith in the Suns, and I have like even less faith in the KD-less Suns. Okay.
Oh, yes, 1,000%. I mean, that's most of their scoring right there.
Yeah, to me, they're just there at this point. And the West is too competitive for me for them to be competitive. But we'll see.
I agree.
I suppose.
I agree with you. I'm right there with you. I feel like they could be like a play-in team. Like they could drop as low as play-in at the end of the
similar,
season.
That's exactly. We can talk about Ja Morant now. Because of the Grizzlies are the same way, where if Ja Morant is not playing, they are even
they're
more
suddenly
laughable.
The G League Grizzlies.
They are even more laughable than the Phoenix Suns. Ja Morant says he's no longer trying to dunk. And Spencer called it. I said this in the offseason. I said, I love Ja Morant. I wish he would chill out. Let's play. Let's play below.
Bless
below
you.
Below the rim, bestie. Okay. He's skinny. He's very athletic. And he flies. Like, literally, he looks like a spider monkey. Or a sugar glider.
Both of them.
You wish. Yes.
Literally, both of them. No, he literally... And you did call that because, for me, like, that was always one of, like, my favorite parts about Ja Morant.
Oh, of course.
And it makes sense why he said that, like, he would never do the dunk contest, too. Like, that makes sense because those ones are, like,
the
crazy
most
dunks. Yeah, exactly. And, like watching him dunk and do all the fun stuff. Like that's one of my favorite parts about him, but he's also just like an incredible player when he just plays basketball. And so hearing him talk about that, I actually really respect that because you obviously see guys like Paul George, Joel Embiid, Kawhi Leonard, Zion, et cetera. I know that they're all decently big guys kind of, but like Ja Morant is everything to the Memphis Grizzlies. And if he dunks and tears his ACL or something like that, the Grizzlies are done skis. So
the longevity of playing below the rim, you like extend your career by like 10. Look at Mike Conley. Okay. Mm-hmm. That mother effer does not jump. And that's not because he's not athletic. And look how much he's like still doing, you know, from the Timberwolves. And he's
Steph Curry.
Old as heck.
Steph Curry's not a dunker and he's incredibly athletic and he's incredibly conditioned. He could be a dunker.
Jokic. Okay. Yeah,
exactly. Yes. And you have never seen Jokic with like major knee problems because he's not jumping around. He's not doing anything crazy. He's playing basketball.
When he dunks, he does a little hop. Yeah. But
literally.
Ja Morant flies. Ja Morant is not 7 feet and he is like aerodynamic when he's in the air.
Oh, it's insane. He reminds me, he and Jonathan Kuminga are like very similar to me with like their what's it called? What's that thing called? Their vertical.
Their vertical. Yeah.
Yeah. They both have very similar verticals in like the sense that you're just like, how did you just jump 6 feet in the air like that? Like, why are you up there?
Ja Morant's one of, like, literally one of my favorite players in the league. When
Me
he
too.
Goes up, I, like, gasp. It's like being a Nuggets fan because Michael Porter Jr., if you didn't know, if you're not a Nuggets fan, has had, like, 3 back surgeries. It's like when you watch Michael, like, fall on his back in a game and everyone's like...
Hit the floor. Yeah.
You're like, no!
Pain.
Your eye does the Spencer thing. But I do fear that Adam Silver might literally show up in a white van and kidnap Ja Morant until
until he starts until dunking.
Until he agrees. Because that's another big issue, is that the NBA...
Viewership in the NBA.
Has, yeah, a little side note, viewership in the NBA has been down. And first of all, I think a lot of that has to do with how expensive it is to try and like watch your team and try and watch other teams. And so most people are watching illegally online. Okay, let's just be for real. And then, of course, like you don't have anyone like you don't have the rivalry right now that LeBron and Steph had. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say in like any real team, like you have some games that are fun to watch, of course, like Nuggets and Lakers, but it's like the Nuggets always win. So is it a rivalry? Like, and you don't have like two stars that are, you know, constantly meeting like every Western Conference, or every, you know, every finals or every, you know,
Western
like
Conference just, finals.
I feel like there's no, I mean, can you think of any insane rivalry right now? Like,
no, I mean, like, no, not at all. The only thing that I could literally think of was literally just like the last couple of years with the Warriors and the Celtics. Yeah. But then the Warriors got bad again and the Celtics stayed good. But the Warriors are like maybe good again. We don't know. But literally it was for like 2 years because they were just like the two best teams, I guess. I don't know. And like it's nothing like the Cavs, Warriors or, you know, anything
and
like that.
And I also feel like it was like you had the matchup of Steph, who's obviously going to go down as one of the best players, you know, like one top 10 and of LeBron. Course.
Yep.
And then you have like Jokic, who's arguably one of the best in the world, but like, Jokic is like a true hooper that like if you appreciate like the passing and stuff like that, you love Jokic. But like a lot of people think he's, you know, boring because he's not doing the flashy stuff like Giannis. But even like besides this year, you know, Giannis last year wasn't as, you know, must watch TV as he was. And so I don't know. I just feel like they and I know like Anthony Edwards, you know, was starting to become and they're really pushing for that. If you didn't know, Anthony Edwards is in literally every commercial right now. But even
they're trying to make him like the next Steph.
His team's doing bad and the Timberwolves last year looked like they were having the time of their lives because they were doing so good. And now the Timberwolves,
they look miserable.
Yeah. So it's like the most fun you see being had right now, I would say, is like probably like the Knicks and the Magic that I've seen. Like they actually look like even Kat seems to be like getting along well and they're all jokey. And I guess the Thunder, I feel like those kind of teams probably have the best, but and the refs. So I don't know. Like, I just think there's a lot of things that go in. Well, the refs are so inconsistent. Okay. Like
yes, 100%, they're so inconsistent. 100%.
You're calling. I'm with you. You're calling 20 free throw attempts for Joel Embiid, and you're calling 4 for Jokic. You're calling, you know, 16 for Giannis, and you know, none for LeBron. Like, you know, it's just like stuff like that where it's just so inconsistent that it's not enjoyable. And I think another reason for that is part of like the betting stuff because I feel like you lose integrity with the way that like ESPN promotes betting and how FanDuel's always on the screen and DraftKings is always on the screen. And it's like, how do we really know that the refs aren't participating in stuff like that? If you had a player last year that was participating in it, he's like banned from the league. So like, how can you make sure that there's no chance that these refs who probably don't make that much money aren't, You know, not everyone's perfect. I'm sure there's like about 90% of them that try and uphold 1,000%. The integrity, but I don't know. It's hard again with how well they promote it. It's like, how do you know?
Well, for sure. And I mean, it's really funny because you and I talked about it too. And I'm like, you know, and I'm not like a giant conspiracy theorist. I'll say that right now. Like I think conspiracy theories are fun, but I'm never one to be like, oh, I believe this. Like that's crazy.
I don't get like, no, this definitely happened, but it's fun to like,
to think about,
comment on. Yeah.
Yes. Because, you and I talked a little bit about this and there was a few games where the refs, for the Grizzlies, was it the Grizzlies? I think it was for like a few Grizzlies games in a row.
With us.
And then the game Warriors. With the Warriors. Mm-hmm.
This was and without Ja, too. This was like their bad team-ish kind of.
Exactly. Yes. This was when Ja was injured earlier this season. And they had a couple of games back-to-back. Nuggets were kicking their butt, and the Warriors were kicking their butt. And both times before the end of the game, it was just really interesting because, you know, the games have certain lines. And so when people bet on certain lines, like say it's like, I don't know, 6.5, I think like they have to win by 7 for people to win their money or something like that.
They have to win by less than 7, totally. Depending on what they chose.
Yes, depending on what like the bet was. And so the refs and everything for both games, for the Nuggets versus Memphis, and then for the Warriors versus Memphis, in the fourth quarter, the refs suddenly started calling like a crap ton of fouls. Like
I'm talking fouls like on one end.
Barely touching someone, but only in favor of the Grizzlies. And I'm not saying that this has to do with the Grizzlies. I'm saying it has to do with like the line and everything like that. But exactly. And it was just really interesting because they always called these fouls until the very end, until the like line was one way or the other. Like the way that the game ended was always just like, oh,
in favor,
Warriors won by 6 now, but the line was 5.5.
Like they were down by literally 20 with 2 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. Why did they just have 8 back-to-back free throw possessions? And now, you know what I'm saying? And now like the game is only within 5.
Yeah, exactly.
Make sense.
It was super. Exactly. It was super interesting. And they did it. They did it both of those games. And like I said, I'm not someone that's like, ooh, like I don't.
Again, but when you're promoting betting, but it is interesting. It's hard not to think about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it's just like, it's very almost like a parent. Like you go from like letting them play the whole game to like suddenly calling touch fouls and like suddenly calling like grazes on like someone's arm. Like you're calling on one that end. Now and there's on one end.
You're not doing ticky tack fouls on both ends, which is equally annoying. Yeah. But you're calling halfway. You know, it just
super annoying, gross. Super frustrating. It's very don't interesting. Love. Mm-mm. Yeah, don't love either. We really went on a tangent here. Anyway, John Morant won't dunk. Stay healthy.
Hopefully. I mean, do I think he's never going to dunk again in the game? No. But I do think there's respect in playing below the rim. I don't know if Adam Silver will enjoy it. It's probably in his voicemail box.
I'm so dead.
Blowing his phone up right now. But who knows?
Other news. The Mavericks played the Wizards yesterday. Bring back shame. The Mavericks played the Wizards yesterday and beat them by 36. The score was 137.
Shame. Where's literally the shame?
The score was 137-101. And if you don't know, the Wizards are now on a 16-game losing streak. They are now tied for the franchise. I love that for you. They're now tied for the franchise record of losses. And I worry because they do play the Nuggets tomorrow.
At this point, it's like, don't be that team. Don't right, be Kyle that Kuzma? Team.
Yeah. The worst part is if you look at the Wizards schedule, they play really good teams for like the next 2 weeks.
I feel like
they're so screwed.
There's got to be a random, you know what? I don't trust the Nuggets anymore. So
that's why I'm like, they literally play the Nuggets tomorrow and it stresses me out. This is exactly like what happened with the Pistons last year. I'm so stressed about every team playing them.
Every Nuggets fan, because we know how we always get up for good teams. And then they literally come in with like the mindset of losers because they're like, oh my God, they can't touch us. They've lost 16 in a row. And so they literally come in the most as lackadaisical, I love that word, as you can get.
I know you do.
And then they're like, oh my gosh, why are we down 20? I don't know, because they're obviously trying not to lose 17 in a row. Like, let's you know, use some math here, okay?
Don't play down to your competition.
So everyone last year was like, every Nuggets fan was like, I am dreading this Pistons game. Like, it can't be us. No. And luckily it wasn't us, but I am horrified. But yes, the Mavs blew, annihilated, belted,
smashed. And And I have to talk about this because it is so frustrating. So I'm a Wizards fan, if you don't know, and a Warriors fan and a Nuggets fan, blah, blah, blah. I love them all. I would marry them all if I could, blah, 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 whatever. Anyway, so Luka and the Mavericks obviously came in hot and were crushing the Wizards, like literally pretty much right out the gate. I think that they were like beating them by 20 at the end of the first quarter, something crazy like that. And so the starters, minus Luka, played between 21 and 24 minutes in this whole game. Okay, that's, if you think about it, that is literally one half or less of basketball that they played because they did not need to. Again, they won by 36, okay? Luka played 32 minutes in this game. Mind you, he just came back from an injury and has also had his whole leg problems and stuff like that too. So like, if you don't need Luka in the game, like I would have pulled Luka out at 10 minutes. I would have been like, you can sit, go relax. But no, Luka had to stay in until he got a triple double, which was 21 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. I mean, that's like the most shameless triple double in the world. And he came out second he hit that triple double. Sub me out, coach. In 32 minutes against a team they were beating by 36 points. That's embarrassing.
Bring back shame.
Bring back shame.
Bring
back shame.
Some shame, shall we? Okay. Let's have some integrity. Okay. And yes, I'm looking at both you, Luka Doncic, and you, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, on the regular. Okay.
Period. Domantas Sabonis last year with his double doubles.
If you didn't get the stat in the minutes you played, whose fault? Like, okay.
You should have gotten it in your 24 minutes if you wanted it.
Why does that matter? What is you like? Or is that because your bestie just is now third all time and he's only two behind? He's behind Russell Westbrook and Oscar Robertson.
I think he's mad that he's literally like not on the MVP talks all like at all this year right now. I think he's literally trying to put his name out there.
Is still winning without you.
Without you. 7-1 without you.
Not saying that Luka is not valuable. Okay. I'm just saying he's not the most valuable. Okay. If you hadn't noticed, the Nuggets have the literal record best offensive rating with Nikola Jokic on the floor and the record worst without Nikola Jokic on the floor. Okay, that is an MVP. When you're winning, what did they went, I think they won seven
games.
Went 7-1 without him, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Your team has figured it out. You have good people and that's fine. You're an incredible player. But it's you're like, not an MVP this year. Sorry.
Exactly. And it's funny because like I said that I thought that he was going to be the MVP this year. Like that's how I figured it last year. He was, in my opinion, I know that a lot of people said that SGA was the second. In my opinion, he was the second choice for MVP. He's probably one of the most incredible offensive players I've seen in like the last 5 years. He's incredible. There's no denying that. He has had a rough year. Efficiency wise, he's had a rough season. He's already been injured once or twice, but his team has figured it out. He does have other pieces. Kyrie Irving has done an incredible job leading this team this year. And I don't think that he likes that. I don't think that he likes that he's not the head honcho, the top dog, the bee's knees, the cat's pajamas, the cherry on top. You know what I'm saying?
I did like what one person commented, and this was like several episodes ago when we were kind of talking about how Luka will have games that he's ball hogging. Not always.
Of course.
But he can pass. He can be an incredible passer.
And he can be such a good facilitator.
Someone explained it so well. They were like, Luka and Jokic both have the same tools, but like opposite, where it's like Jokic can score insanely, but he prefers to pass, and Luka can pass insanely, but prefers to score. And I was
I love that.
What a beautiful way to explain it, because they both have like incredible tools. And I was laughing at the Jeff Teague podcast, as I always mention, the other day, because they were like, you damn near have to be white and foreign to be out of shape. Because they were like, why are Luka and Jokic like the two best players, like some two of the best players in the NBA? And they look like that. That's their peak physical performance.
The jogging up, like just dragging yourself.
I know. It was cracking me up. Bad. So it's like, I just, that like stat padding a triple double against the Wizards is so shameless. Like
the Wizards in a 16 game losing streak where they're already losing to you by like 30 to 40.
And like, leave them alone.
Literally their sophomore. He's having a really tough time right now. He went 0 for 10 yesterday. Okay. Leave him alone.
That's how I felt about the Pistons last year. I was like, you leave Cade alone. Okay. He's going through it.
He's trying.
Okay, it's okay if you my beat guy them, JP but like, by 40.
My guy JP, can we cut him some slack, please?
I think it's like when teams are really, really bad. I like know, because everyone has noticed how competitive I am during basketball season. I like know that they're not a threat to me, so I'm just like, oh, come here, like let me hug you.
You're okay.
I'll root for you against every other team. I promise.
That's me, and I'm like, you know what? I'm honestly so glad that I'm a Wizards fan because. Now I can be like, please win. I can like, you know, I'll be so excited when they do get a win.
I'm just
how
a girl.
Nice is that? I'm just an empath. Girl.
Yeah.
Me too. I feel so sad for them.
Because I'm like, I wouldn't want to go to work every day and like lose 16 in a row.
Oh, I'd be so pissed. I would be so mad. There it goes again.
Like.
Mm-mm. I'm not someone that can like accept that. And I know that like. You're in the NBA. I know that like it hurts them too. Like I know that they've got to be so pissed. And like the worst part,
I try to remember that they are still making millions of dollars. And while like all of us collectively hate to go to our jobs, they probably also hate to go to their jobs. But at least they get to hate to go to their jobs with a lot of money. So that's the one saving grace, I suppose.
That's so true. I think I would like. I would maybe complain a little bit less if I was making millions of dollars.
Yeah, like my job. I would definitely still probably hate my job, but like how much can you hate it when you're making $15 million a year, you know?
Period. Literally, how much can you hate it? You can't because you're making gajillions of dollars.
Yeah.
So, I totally agree with you. The poor Wizards, it'll be very interesting to see when they get their next win.
What are the Mavs have come back. Like, I was talking mad shit about the Mavs, to be fair, because like we were like fifth. And they were like below the plan, and now they're freaking back, and I'm so annoyed.
Yeah, no, they're playing.
I know. I mean, they have like to me, they have like a deep. They just have so much to pick and choose with offensive and defensive pieces that actually pisses me off. Yeah, they're third. They actually are. Yep. Okay, so Rockets, Mavs, and Grizzlies are now all tied for third with 2.5 games. So technically like three, separating them behind the Thunder. They have all won 15 and lost 8. Warriors have lost the same amount, but only won 13. So they just haven't played the same amount. Some teams have played so many more games. Like Nuggets have only played 20. The Clippers have played like 24. So Nuggets are ranked 8th.
Well, Nuggets had like a whole week off when everyone else played like 3 games.
So good for you, Mavs fans. I like a lot of the people on your team.
I like shamelessly
look at me, I'm the
love
Mavs,
the Mavs.
And I got good bench pieces and I had an insane midseason trade and got to the finals last year. My front office knows what they're doing. Look
and then
you.
I picked up Quentin Grimes and Spencer Dinwiddie and everyone made fun of me and now they're playing really well.
Whoa. Listen, I love being on the timeline and just saying, oh my God, Spencer, motherfucking Dinwiddie. And then I just love when it just says Spencer because I'm like, guys.
Stop.
Stop it. I'm doing my best out there.
I know. Like, I know I'm doing great.
Spencer.
Okay.
Oh, and then someone replaced, they just put Spencer, but they replaced the E's with threes. And I'm like, this is like me in my dream. I'm like in the NBA. I'm like the 3-point star.
I wish that I had a name with E's because my basketball number was 33. And all I did was shoot threes. I was a catch and shoot girly. And so I'm like,
oh yeah,
name can be.
We know.
Caitlin, don't dribble the ball or do anything else. Drain threes. That's me dancing.
Caitlin,
you can't really see my arms.
Caitlin doesn't swing the rock, Porter Jr. Caitlin doesn't swing the rock, Rios.
Anyway.
Not me, no way, no how.
Moving on. Should we? Oh, that was fabulous.
Mariah Carey.
Should we talk about the Lakers?
That's the exactly losers? What I was going to say. The losers? Luca Lakers.
Just wait. No, I got something for you. Just hold on.
Losers. Oh, my bad. I'm dead. Duh. Yeah, no, let's talk about how they lost by 41 to the Miami Heat. And here's the thing. I know that the Miami Heat are fine. They're fine in the East.
They're a 500 team.
We are the West.
They've won 10 and they've lost 10, okay? What did I say? I think it was last episode or the episode before. The Heat, in my eyes, are just going to be another 8 seed, 9 seed in the East again.
That's how they always are. And I think I'm correct. Yeah. I think you are correct. And
they play hard, you know, though, to be fair.
I said that. It's going to be a problem. So here's the thing. LeBron's shot has been a little bit rough. His efficiency has been really rough lately.
Last night,
but it was back last game.
Yeah. Or
it was tonight, back when, last game. Whenever that happened. He looked great. His shot was back. He himself had a great game. He was 12 for 18, 29 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists and a steal. So good for LeBron. That's awesome for him. But when your next best player is Max Christie, that's bad for your whole team. That's just like, if I see someone be like, Max Christie had a great game, I'm assuming you lost by 40. I'm telling myself you lost by 40. That's like, okay. Yeah, never heard of her. Oh, it's a boy? Okay.
Can we talk about how just in their last two games that they've lost by 70 points combined?
Oh, I know. They've been giant losses. Yeah. My guys are getting, they're getting punted into next week with their losses.
Belt. Yes. They got the belt whooped.
Literally. What? And I think that like a really big struggle for them too is that Dalton Connect has been like lost the last few games. Yeah. I wouldn't even say the last few games. Last couple of weeks, his shot has been gone.
To me, like, that I'm never going to blame a rookie as much.
Oh, no. Me neither.
Just because, they could have never predicted that he was going to have those few games that he got, like, 30 and stuff. You know what I mean? Not to mention that their rookie has more 30-point games than our max contract, PG, the Nuggets, who have zero. But anyway, him and Jared McCain. Anyway, moving on from the rookies. Let's back to the Lakers. I just had to bring that up. I just want to say, like, to me, like, I'm never, like, I will critique rookies, but for me, I will never blame them, if that makes sense. Just because.
No, totally.
You know they're going to have those learning moments.
Yes. I'm blaming the Lakers for not picking up for his slack. Because, like, I'm like, you guys got lucky
Anthony
that this.
Davis.
Oh, my. What has he been doing?
Mr. 3 for 14. Hey, MVP. You waved that one goodbye quickly. Negative 29. And again, I was watching the All NBA podcast, by the way, and it's with Adam Mares and Tim Legler. If you don't know, Tim Legler has started to be calling a lot of games now, and he's on ESPN a lot. Yes, they are part of our All City Network friends, our DNVR friends here in Denver. But they also have, here's my plug for my friends, because they've plugged us plenty of times.
They have
Phoenix, Philly, Chicago, Dallas, and Denver. I believe I got everyone. And then they do an all NBA show, which I love because it's around the association. If you don't know about these in your city, they are great. They literally cover all the major sports teams. So Denver, literally, there's a podcast pre-games and post-games for the Nuggets, for the Buffs, for even CSU. It started here in Denver. So they've got college, you know, they do the Avs, the Rockies, the Rapids, and then same Broncos. With, you know, Philadelphia. So they do the Eagles and the 76ers. So if you didn't know, it's so nice because sometimes after a bad loss or a great win, you want to hear people dissect the game. They're all great people. Well, at least the DMVR guys are. So I would assume that they don't hire bad people elsewhere. But anyway, back there.
there's my shout out. So Tim Legler and Adam were talking about the other day, and Tim was like, I hated the plus minus when I was playing, because it's like, if I go out and have like the best, you know, stint of my life, but four other people like decide to be trash, then I'm
it ruins
screwed.
You.
He's like, what's that about? And so Caitlin and I have talked about this before. We don't harp on the plus minus too much, but like Anthony Davis, you're giving up to the Heat. You're a minus 29.
I think this is my thought about the plus minus is I don't think that you can use it as an accurate statistic unless you actually watch the game and unless it like unless the eye test agrees with it, because it doesn't always, like, there are certain people that unfortunately
tell the story,
exactly, but sometimes it adds to it. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Sometimes it's a really good piece to it.
It's like when we see Jokic is like a plus 39 and you're like, what is wrong with this guy? Like, why is he like this? But yeah, Gabe Vincent and D'Angelo Russell both have been so detrimental. And I know you LA fans hate them as well. So I'm so, so sorry for you. Gabe Vincent.
I can't even believe that Gabe Vincent is getting minutes.
He was 3-for-11, shooting 27%. And then D'Lo was back to regular D'Lo, even despite the loss. He was only shooting 38%, 5-for-13, 1-for-4 from three. I don't really know why D'Lo shoots threes. Again, we don't understand. He had 4 assists. Okay.
But Dalton
connect to me again. I'm not blaming him because he only played 22 minutes and he was 1-for-4. You know, it's not like he was like 1-for-11. Then I would probably shit on him a little more. Like, put the ball down and it's not your night. Yep. People often
and
hear
I think
me say
he does that really well. Yeah. Like, I think that he's really good at being like, I'm going to stop here because he's been having bad shooting
games. are the most like that, I would say. I talked about this. Some of the guys on the Rockets,
they
you can
humble.
Tell the guys that are like, it's not my night. Instead of like, because they know they're rookies, they're like, I'm not going to totally make my coach hate me right now and not play
literally.
Me for 2 games. So they're like, I'm just going to stop. We're just going to stop here.
Yep, literally though. I know. It's so bad. And the Lakers just look bad in general. I mean, granted, the Heat did have a great game. Like, they made 24 threes in this game. Tyler Hero had 9 of those threes. Miami, I don't know if you knew this though. This is my favorite part about it, because if you didn't know, the score was 134-93. Miami had 9 free throw attempts the entire game, Spencer. 9. The Lakers had 19.
I did see that.
How? Like, that's so painful to me. I don't know. Either way, they got their butts kicked. They've been getting their butts kicked. Anthony Davis needs to be better. Get Max Christie and D'Lo and Gabe Vincent off your team and find someone better.
You can start seeing it. You know, that's one thing I've never loved about LeBron, and everyone knows he's not my favorite, okay? But that's one thing I've never, like, super appreciated, is I feel like he tends to, like, blame people and, you know, make the front office do what he wants, or make, you know, make the, which he's LeBron. I understand he's earned that. But, like, it seems like they're, like, starting to, like, take shots at people, like, not LeBron as a whole, but, like,
yes.
You can see the team isn't, like, working.
They're
as
not
a
gelling.
Team.
No, they are not gelling.
It's how I felt, you know, with like the Anthony Edwards thing. He's like, we're not together. Like, at least he wasn't putting the blame on like anyone specifically, but it's still, it's like, I don't know. It's like, do you say that in the media? I never know. Like, is it good to call it out so that people like get like fired up? I'm actually curious what other people think. Like, would you rather have, same with like a coach. People were upset because Michael Malone, they asked him the other day, what do you do when Jokic goes to the bench and he says, I pray. And of course, I'm over here like, no, you coach, please, begging.
Please, God, talk to them.
I pray, you coach. They were talking about that on the post game last night. They were like, no, you pray. But a lot of people were upset that he said this to his players. But I'm like, that should piss them off, right? So I never know. I feel like there's a happy medium between like kind of calling them out to like light a fire. But then you have some people that have egos and get upset. So I feel like there's two different types of players that either works on or pushes them further away. I don't know.
I agree. I think that's the biggest thing, is that you just have to know your players. I mean, in my opinion, well, first of all, I don't know if you saw JJ Redick's post game. He looks distraught. He looks. Well,
he's probably been just disheveled. Been hiding out. He's been hiding out in that basement.
In that film. Basement, watching film. Yep, watching film in his basement. He looks disheveled. He looks like he doesn't know what he's going to do next. But I don't know. It just sucks to be the Lakers. I'm not sad.
Sucks to be Lakers. Sucks to be Lakers fans.
You want to know what other LA team sucks right now that just got their butts kicked?
I'm so glad you read my mind. That's exactly what I wanted to chat about.
I love us so much. Clippers got their asses kicked. Bye.
They used up all their black magic, witchcraft, magnet ball on the Nuggets, as it seems. I'm sure other teams feel like this. So, like, I've heard, like, plenty of fans of other teams that are like, oh, this is how we feel when so-and-so plays us. So I know I'm not the only one, but it really feels sometimes like everyone uses their magnet ball against us, especially after last night with the Nuggets. But Clippers did the same thing. Half of that is because we have no perimeter defense. We already talked about that game.
We know but that one.
The Clippers were so piss poor on Wednesday. They lost to the Wolves, who are not having... If you would have told me this last year, I would have been like, ooh, Wolves went out and took care of business. They haven't been having that kind of season, okay? The Clippers ended with 80. I texted Caitlin because they had... Let me do the math real quick. I think they had 37 points at the half. I think that's what it was.
Oh, sure. Yes. Are you talking about the Clippers? Yeah. I thought that there was no way that the Clippers would even score 70 in this game.
32. Sorry, not 37. I'm so not a math girly off the top of my head.
I'm dead.
32 points at the half.
Yeah. The half. I literally said that they wouldn't score 70 total in the game because it was so bad. I was so surprised that they ended up scoring 80. And I just want to say, too, because like a lot of Wolves fans were like, oh, we are back, baby. This was a very average Wolves game. This was a very average.
This it is
was
how like, they've it was kind a, of been playing.
Yes, it was a good game for them. Like, I wouldn't say that they played bad, and I wouldn't say that they played exceptional. It was a good game for them, but it's not like they went crazy. They only scored 108 points. Like, literally, their shot was off from three. They shot, like, 30-something percent from three. They were 16 of 44, and they only shot 55% from the free throw line. So, I mean, they were just beating the Clippers everywhere else.
The
Clippers were just that bad.
1 for 10. Yeah. And this was until the fourth quarter, mind you. 1 for 10. 1 for 6 from three. 4 turnovers.
Jameson. Stop.
Jameson.
Jimmy
Jam. Did you miss Norman?
Normie.
Who would have thunk that Mr. Norman Powell was going to be the MVP of the Clippers this season? Not me.
What dimension is this?
Not sure. Put him in the running. Put him in the running. Might as well.
Put him on the roster.
Put him on the MVP ladder now. Because after that. When you have Bones Highland, who has like literally not played regular minutes and probably since he was on the Nuggets, probably 3 years ago.
I was going to say almost like 2 years. Yeah.
We won 2 years ago, it'll be 2 years, you know, soon. So I think three, because he got off our team and went to the Clippers after he threw a little hissy fit. And they gave him some minutes and then like went away from him. Like they gave him a few minutes.
Completely. He went to deep bench.
He shot 41%, had 5 for 10 threes. I say this all the time. I wish he wouldn't have had the attitude problems he did in Denver. I don't know. I'm sure now that he hasn't been able to start anywhere else. That was his whole qualm with the Nuggets.
He
got the opportunity and then Jamal came back and he wasn't starting anymore. And so I think that, so I don't know if maybe like his attitude's better. I mean, I think he burned that bridge, but it sucks because a lot of people loved him in Denver. I
was a huge fan.
When I first, my first Nuggets, or second Nuggets game, sorry, since when I moved here, which was the year before the championship, I went to a game and I was so impressed because I don't think Jamal played that game, and Bones went off. And I was like, this guy is going to be good. And so I don't know. I wish I really like, and I hear this from other people, like people still support him elsewhere. I feel bad. I feel bad that he has just kind of, and I don't know if it was his attitude and still is like, he just doesn't even get a opportunity unless it's garbage time. And then he
really is
5 for 10, like 50% from three. So I would,
which is pretty impressive because the rest of his team, all of the team, the whole Clippers as a whole, shot 27.5% from three and 35% from the field. And they had 21 turnovers.
It was so satisfying, though, as someone who severely dislikes James Harden, and I severely hate his game in general. That he was so bad without. So it's like you are only either good with Kawhi or Norman Powell now.
Norman Powell, come on. When does Kawhi come back?
You know what? I need to change my tune because Norman Powell has been balling. So now I've got to be like, you know what? Slow clap for Norman Powell. Most improved player.
No, he really has been incredible. 32.
He looks so old to me. 31. You were so close.
31, yeah.
Can you be a most improved player? Someone called him the most improved unk.
Yeah, you can.
Like most improved uncle, because you know that's what they call the old heads.
I'm dead. I saw, I don't know if you saw, but they called Jeff Green. He plays for the Rockets right now. They were getting on their plane to come play the Warriors, actually. And when they were getting on their plane to come play the Warriors, they were asking like what all their nicknames were. And Jeff Green comes up because he's playing on a team. Mine is Fred VanVleet. He's playing on a very young team. Yeah. And he said, he was like, some of them are going to call me Grandpa. He's like, but it's Unk. And I was like, yeah, you tell him, Jeff Green. You tell him.
Well, it cracked. Well, because he's 38, but it cracks me up because Kyrie Irving, I was watching him. A lot of guys, I'm sure, know the streamer Kai Cenant. He was having everyone on. He had Kyrie Irving on his stream a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was just last week, but they were calling Kyrie Irving because a lot of he's young and his friends are young. They called him Unk, and he goes, no, we're not going to do that. He's like, I'm 32. I'm not Unk. So he was
like, I'm
no.
Dead.
He's like, we're going to nip that right now. Not happening.
I am not Unk. Mm-mm-mm. No, thank you. No way, no how. Not me.
Yeah, not me. Do not call me that.
That is hilarious. Yeah, no, I think that Norman Powell is the Clippers right now. I think that he's the only thing holding the Clippers together, in my humble opinion.
Sorry, James Harden. Again, are you the system or the problem? I think it's the problem.
You are the problem, my dear.
It's you. You know, like, you are the father, but you are the problem. Personal foul just like, on you.
I want to see, like, period. I want to see AI make, like, a video of James Harden dancing to Taylor Swift, where it's like, it's me. Hi. I'm the problem.
He's the problem. It's him.
And it's like him just like in his basketball uniform.
Yeah, literally.
Just vibing. You know? Okay. That's how I feel it.
Moving on. Let's talk about better. What? Oh, I was going to say. Oh, Warriors.
I thought we were going to talk about the bad ones, not the good ones. But I'm happy to talk about the Warriors.
Who?
Or the Nuggets.
Oh, no. I'm going to end with them.
Excuse me, everyone. Sorry about that. But let's Warriors. Talk about the the Warriors. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm
break
so hyped
their
right
five
now.
Game losing streak because the Nuggets beat them because I was there.
The Nuggets did beat them, and it was.
We have only lost one game this season when I am in the building, and I think I've been to 7 home games.
You've
now?
Been to a lot of games.
I have, and we've only lost once since I've been in the building.
That's pretty incredible. I'm not going to lie.
Thanks.
Pretty incredible. But the Nuggets beat the Warriors on Tuesday, and they handed them their fifth loss in a row. It was very painful. Warriors just sucked. Nuggets played fine. It's not like they were, like, exceptional. And this is me saying that as a Nuggets fan. They played good. They played a good game.
It was not. It was an okay game. It was very miserable to watch.
Yeah, they played fine.
They luckily had some clutch defense in the end. We don't need to harp on that game. Yeah.
yeah, I was going to say, and the Warriors just shat the bed like collapsed. They always do, literally. But then Steph and Dre were announced out yesterday, or I'm sorry, 2 days ago for the Warriors game yesterday against the Rockets. And if you don't know, the Rockets are doing incredible this year. So the second really that well. You hear... your two best players are going to be out against the Rockets
when you're on a five game. Against a team who's the number two in the West.
Mm-hmm. When you're already on a five game losing streak. Like I was straight up doomsday. I was doomsday. I was like, this is the end for me. I am out. Okay. My Nuggets were playing the Cavs. My Wizards were getting their butts kicked by the Mavs. And then I had the Warriors without Steph and Dre. It was a tough day, okay?
But you know what was funny is Caitlin and I were on the phone yesterday when I was going. Caitlin and I were on the phone yesterday, and I was like, "I'm so nervous for the game tonight." And she was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Aren't Clay or Clay?" I was like, "Aren't Steph and Draymond both out?" She was like, "Yes." And I was like, "Oh, it's a bad day." And she was like, "I think I'm just going to root for the Suns because they're the hometown team, I guess. Like, what else can I do?"
And then, they lost. It's just so fun.
That was really funny.
I know. Love that for me. God, I
keep rooting for them, especially when we're at the game. Yeah.
Yeah, I will. I got your back, girlfriend. I am the bad luck. But the nice part is that it was a very low scoring game, but the Warriors ended up winning 99-93. Which was amazing. I was so proud. It was actually a very good game on both ends. Yeah. The lead changed several times. It was a very back and forth game. Like literally at one point, the Rockets were up 10. At one point, the Warriors were up like 12. It was very back and forth. It was an awesome game to watch. Very hard fought. But the best part about it, the story of the game, was Jonathan Kuminga. My guy came out and had his career best 33 points. I am literally so proud of him. And Pods actually had a good game too, which is really nice to see. If you don't know, we've been talking about it. Brandon Pajemski is a sophomore this year, and he had an incredible rookie season and then has come out and kind of fallen flat this season. And it's been, I think, really tough for him. He's like the kind of guy that's like a really big competitor. He does not like to lose and he doesn't like to play bad.
And you can tell it's not lack of effort, like at all.
Well, that's what I was just about to say is so his shot has not been falling and that's been killing him. But he's like a defensive menace. He literally led the league in charges last year and he's a huge rebounder. So he's the kind of guy that he will always put forth the effort. But his shot last year was really great. He had a really good shot last year and it has not been falling this year. And it wasn't falling again today or yesterday or whatever. And I was so proud of him because he played such unselfish basketball. Like with Steph and Dre out, he could have like tried to take over. They gave him the start, which I thought was very interesting. And he could have tried to take over and, you know, made it his game and thrown up 20 shots. And you know what? He threw up a few. He ended up shooting like 40% and he had like 8 points. But the best part was that he had 12 rebounds and he just literally played the best team basketball. He was giving up shots. He was playing incredible defense. He was making plays for other players on the team. He was helping out Kuminga, who, like I said, had his team high. But listen to how embarrassing this is, and you'll get it, because Steph Curry and Draymond Green are the team's assists. That's where the team's assists come from, is Steph Curry and Draymond Green. Draymond Green is a fantastic facilitator, one of the highest ball IQs I've ever seen in my entire life, besides someone like Nikola Jokic. He reminds me, ball IQ-wise, he reminds me a lot of Nikola Jokic, and just facilitator-wise. He will never be the player that he is, but he has a very similar mind in that sense that he knows exactly where everyone on his team will go, and he can make everything happen. And so that's big for Draymond. Steph Curry's obviously your point guard. And so you're going to be missing a lot of shooting. You're going to be missing a lot of rebounding with Draymond, and you're going to be missing a lot of assisting. The team who averages, they average almost 31 assists per game. And that's like, I would say that's even like kind of lower for them. They had 19 assists this game. 19 assists is so low for this team. So like, shout out to them, like I said, for just like figuring out a way to win, because I would have never pegged this team for a win. And that game also marked the Warriors' 15th win against the Rockets, 15th straight win against the Rockets.
Wow. Yeah, I wanted to bring up when I was home for Thanksgiving, and I, again, I see a lot when I'm watching
the basketball games on the
big screen.
Yeah, on the projector. It's so good. And I was like very honed into the Thunder Warriors game because I knew it was going to be a hard fought battle. And I was so impressed because, again, I've said, like, Brandon Pajemski, no offense, just has like a punchable looking face. But the effort he gave in that game, like, even despite the loss, I hate that saying, but despite the loss, he was like everywhere. And it's like, even if your shot is not falling, I am so impressed with you. One, if you don't keep shooting. And two, and two, if you're like busting your ass on defense, and he was everywhere in that game. So I was just really, you can tell that he's, again, it's like not for lack of effort. Like he's a dog for sure.
He cares. Like that's, like, I think that like, that's the important thing is like, he's someone that literally he and Lester Quiñones, if you don't know Lester Quiñones, he played for the Warriors last year, and he's been a two-way player for the last couple of years for them. He's fantastic. Such a good human. He got picked up by the 76ers and he's been playing for them this year on their bench and everything. But he and Brandon Pajemski last year literally just like spent all their time following Steph around like puppies because they are people that like they care so much about basketball and they want to be the best and they will forever put in that effort that they wanted to just like, you know, when you like, I mean, it's like if people like Christian Brown following around Jokic and everything like that and just starting to do what Jokic does. Like if you have the opportunity to play basketball on the same team with one of the best players to ever do it, like, why wouldn't you want to soak every bit of that in and see what they do and see how they got there? If you're a true competitor, that's exactly
see
what
you do.
See what
they eat. See what they do. See what their recovery is
exactly.
Like.
Exactly. How they work. How they
like
work
word
out.
For
what
word.
Yes. Exactly. Like, step by step, learn everything that they do. And that's exactly what Brandon Pajemski does. And that's something that, like, I really respect about him. A lot of people make fun of him because, like, he came out and was, like, this, I don't know, kind of cocky rookie and everything like that. But he had a reason to be. And this year he's really struggled, but he hasn't been that cocky rookie anymore because he's, like, he was humbled. He got humbled by not having a shot anymore. But he's still someone that wants to impact the game in several other ways. And that's exactly what he's been doing. I cannot hate on him. He's doing everything that he can. And obviously Steve Kerr sees that, giving him the start for that game. And the Rockets are still just a great team. I don't really have any qualms about it. I think it was a very average game for both the Rockets and the Warriors.
Their coach called them the F out.
Yeah, they did. Or he did, I should say.
Yeah, he said he was like, I don't think half of our team showed up until after the second quarter. And he said, this was not my team. I was like, oop.
Yeah, which I found, I mean, you know what? And you know what? He knows his team a lot more than I do. I will say that.
But I told, hey, what did I say? I don't know if Jalen Green is the guy. He was 4-for-16, totally. Shot 25%, 0-for-4
from 3.
He had
a rough game. Mm-hmm.
But so did Fred VanVleet, also had a rough game, which is really unlike him. He shot 10 threes and he only made 3 of them. Why he kept chucking them, I don't know.
It was very hero ballish of him. He was trying so hard to make something happen for them.
And Thompson, same, 5-for-3. A lot of them, like, what I congratulated a lot of them on, like, or hype them up about on Tuesday, they forgot, I guess.
And I will say too,
they were calling their own numbers.
Totally. They absolutely were. They literally were just showing up, chucking up threes and chucking up shots. For the Rockets, I will give them the benefit of the doubt and like also hype up my team a little bit. But like between Pods and Jonathan Kuminga and Moody and Andrew Wiggins and Buddy Hield, like their perimeter defense was crazy. Like the Rockets were not given a lot of open looks or great looks. Oof. So whatever shots that perimeter defense, not always. Okay. But last night it was great. Strength in numbers.
Cool.
Hey, I had to painfully watch.
My front office doesn't waste my franchise player's prime. My franchise player has 4 rings at the Warriors.
Hopefully a fifth soon. But let's listen. Go ahead, Spencer. Take it away, babe. Go Warriors. I'm sad about the Nuggets right now. I'm fighting them.
I don't even know where to begin.
Not the knuckle cracking. I'm dead.
Because I have to center myself. Because what sucks is so many of my issues have nothing to do with how piss poor they played last night. So I'm going to briefly mention the game last night. The Nuggets lost to the Cavs. And it almost hurt worse than when we lost to the Knicks by like 40. Because they came in and I was like, okay, they're not like giving up a lead. Like they kind of all are, you know, making plays.
No, they were there. Doing things. Yes, they were there. They showed up.
And then at the end of the first quarter, the Cavs hit back to back to back to back threes. Open yeah. threes. Four. As if we didn't just talk about this with the Clippers. Back to back to back to back. And then coach calls a timeout, or well, it's the end of the first quarter. You can tell they've been they had 9 threes in the first quarter. Hey, let's not let that happen. And
yeah, Mike Malone was not happy.
It was an immediate three. And he literally like 13 seconds into the second quarter called another timeout. This game was so frustrating.
Can I jump it in real quick? I'm just going to like throw something in about like, because it's going to have to do with your rant in a second. But like, I just want to clarify that like this really, besides Julian Strother, Peyton Watson, and I mean, not even so much Jamal had an okay shooting game. It was not like it was a disgusting offensive game. I do want to say that like for the most part, their offense was there.
For me, it wasn't, I did want to shout out Michael Porter Jr. He had 24 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals and 2 blocks.
Yeah.
I get really frustrated because I think he could play so much more defense because I think he forgets he's literally like 6'11".
But he's fast and athletic too at that height.
He hit some huge shots. Jokic, while having 27, 20 and 11, and you know, moving to third time all time on the triple double list, Jokic was missing, like we missed 15 layups, by the way.
He was so mad, you could tell.
Jokic missed a lot of his like easy tap-ins, so it wasn't like a typical 80% from the field Jokic night. And it sucks that Jokic has to have that for us to win. But it is what it is. It's so frustrating because a lot of people were talking about it. Apparently AG at the end, it was the fourth quarter. So we got so close so many times. There were like 5 minutes left and we'd cut the lead to 9, or maybe even like 4 minutes left. And then we'd get a stupid turnover. There'd be a turnover, immediate open three. Turnover, immediate open three. It was just so disgusting. And so this is like now we go into like my issues just for the team in general, not even from this game, is this team, first of all, doesn't look happy anymore. The team looks so pissed. I don't know what, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with AG and Christian Brown, but it was something that I noticed at the game on Tuesday. It obviously wasn't on the TV, but I watched it because Christian was coming down and AG was going like this because he had a perfect lane and he didn't pass to AG. Christian didn't. And like, they immediately called a timeout and I saw like AG going like, I was calling for the ball like in front of you, dude. And the same thing happened this last game where, and I think Christian missed the layup. Like AG was wide open under the rim and he went and got, or maybe he did get it, but either way, like it was weird because AG was doing the same thing.
Interesting.
But then like, I've seen them laughing on the bench. So, like, I don't think they have anything, but I'm like, it was weird. I don't know. It was just something weird. But apparently AG had tried to call like a little team huddle and like Jamal just like ignored him. And
yeah, literally just shrugged him off, walked away.
This team looks like it has like no joy anymore. Like Jokic doesn't look like he's having fun, obviously, because he has to play 40 minutes almost every game. Michael doesn't look like no one is looking. And yeah, you'll see them smiling on, like someone was like, because I mentioned this yesterday, I was like, this team doesn't even look like the same team. I was watching the Nuggets championship run, my favorite thing, and I would tell everyone, like, you have to look how much the ball is popping. Like, you'll literally watch everyone be set. You know, I like just love that team, and it'll go here, 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 and drained a three, like from Jamal or Mike. And it was just so
super
beautiful.
Fast ball movement and fun.
The ball is popping, it's touching everyone's hands, and it was so beautiful. And everyone was playing for each other. And lately, it just seems like
So many of them have been calling on their own number. I mean, I've always had an issue with thinking that Jamal dribbles the air out of the ball, but it happened a lot in the Warriors game. He only had, he ended, I think, with 12 points. He had 10 points until the fourth quarter. Like, be so for real. Like, you're making $208 million in 4 years. So it's like there's no joy. And I think Jamal has his attitude. I mean, everyone knows how his attitude is. So I don't know if like his attitude just has a lot to do with it. But it's like this team doesn't look like they're happy. And when a team's not happy, they're not playing for each other. And they kind of mentioned this on the post game last night. They were talking about how they think some of the trust was lost, like in the locker room, potentially with Murray, with seeing how he approached like the beginning of the regular season. And and then like how it was in the playoffs, which I can understand. Like, and then you see the guy get rewarded. Like, of course, we won a championship. But you see a guy who hasn't been in shape and who doesn't start to get in shape until halfway through the season and doesn't play defense and just gets blown by and hunted and hunted and hunted. And you see him get $50 million and you're like,
rewarded.
And then I would imagine Michael Porter, like, because a lot of people are wondering if people aren't respecting Malone. And I'm almost wondering, because if I'm Michael Porter Jr. and I've been taken out and still get taken out for the past, 4 or 5 years, if I'm not playing good enough defense to their liking, and I'm always getting taken out to close, not always, but sometimes, for defensive purposes, and then Jamal never gets benched.
And my guy literally steps to the side when people drive towards him. He literally steps to the side.
And so it's like, why am I still getting punished? I'm a, 26-year-old, 27-year-old, and I'm still getting punished. And I'm, I do think that the thing with Michael is I think he's either all in on effort or he's like just not there.
Totally.
So like, again, like I hate when a guy like that, 4 steals, 2 blocks, you're 6'11", you could have that every game.
Totally.
So with Jamal, I'm just like, why does he get coddled? And I know it's because he has a big ego, but imagine like they were talking about too, and it reminded me, of course, because I forgot about it, that LaMelo got benched for a while because of his attitude. So it's like, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care that you won us a championship. I literally don't care, because what does that have to do with now? You just made a max contract. I quit. As soon as he made that money, I was like, okay, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I want to see effort. And again, when you're only down 9, he did the same shit when we were down 7 with 2 minutes to go. And I see you walking up the court with the ball. I told Caitlin this yesterday. Jamal reminds me, bringing the ball up the court, it's like when, because he does like a fake jog, and it reminds me of when like a car, or when you're in your car and you're like at a stop sign and like someone sees you and waves at you, and then they like awkwardly like move their hands, but they're like actually, they're like not going faster, but they're like making it look like they are. That's what Jamal does when he brings the ball up the court. He's like fake.
Pumps his arm a little faster when he walks. It's so frustrating.
And I'm like, someone who wants to win, someone who wants to beat the team that has the best record in the NBA right now, if they're down 9 with 4 minutes to go, is going to run the ball up the court and make a play. And like the fact that his step back fall away mid-range hasn't been hitting all season, and he's still trying to do that tough shot when in a close game, pisses me off. There's a better look. There's a better freaking look, and I know it. So
yeah, you don't need to start like doing your fancy shots and making cool. Like when you're down, you need to be. I wanted to say this because I respect it a lot. Jason and I were talking about it yesterday. We were watching some games, some close games and everything like that. And there was a moment where, like, I think it was Kuminga yesterday, could have done the fanciest shit in the entire world.
Yeah.
And he just did the nicest, lightest layup. Like, and that is not a Kuminga thing to do. If you don't know this, Kuminga was benched earlier this season. Kuminga was starting at the beginning of the season and got benched for those reasons, for his attitude and for all this other stuff. And he just wasn't performing. Klay Thompson, Mr. Max contract, one of the best 3-point shooters of all time, multiple broken records, one of the best shooters of all time, got benched last year and literally came off the bench and wasn't starting because he was not performing.
Like, if I'm Nikola Jokic and this is my, like, this is what you're doing to me when you see how front offices have handled people like LeBron and people like, you know, Steph. I was actually thinking this earlier. I was like, I wonder what Natalia thinks. I would pay $1 million, I think, to hear what his wife, so Natalia, true. Has to think. Because I know, yeah. You know, because he seems so humble, but like, I'm like one of those competitive people. Even when I date a guy that's kind of like that, it's like, oh, everything's fine, like, whatever. I'm like, no.
It's not.
It's not okay. So I'm literally, like, if I'm Natalia, I'm pissed because... Yes. Especially her, like, she always talks about how great her husband. So it's like when you know your husband's the best in the world and you're seeing this as how they're handling it, it's just so aggravating. And the team, like, they need to call a team meeting or something. I hope they have, because like it's almost like Jamal Murray, it feels like his attitude is becoming like a cancer, like, to the team and the culture.
Yes, like, absolutely.
And it just sucks because, like, as a guy that stood there, like, and last year said, I want to end my career in Denver and you won us a championship and you're crying and, you know, you go in the bubble against Donovan Mitchell, you know, and you had like a 50-point game with no free throws. And then that guy, like, looks like he would rather be literally anywhere else. And like, it just doesn't matter. And it's like, I don't know if that's like a, well, it's just the early season. Like, I'm just, you know, hanging out. Like, it's just
so tired of that.
No wonder ratings are down. If that's the mentality players are going to have, why am I going to turn on a game before playoffs? Because you don't care.
Thank you. And I'm like, you guys are getting paid gajillions of dollars to play basketball. Like, you are so painfully blessed. You are so painfully blessed to be making, I mean, literally an average contract right now is like $20 to $30 million. Like, the low contracts are $9 million. Okay. Like, I mean, you're
15 getting million really for low contracts at this point.
Like, literally, I'm like, you are literally getting paid millions and millions and millions of dollars. And I know that it's a long season. 82 games is a very long season. I get that. But like, if you are a true competitor, which, like, I feel like anyone in the NBA should be, you have worked your ass off your entire life to get here. You've played in gajillions of games to get here. And here you are playing basketball, making millions of dollars again, playing basketball.
And how many, that is your job. How many days of the year are all of us, like, what do the, like, majority of people probably get 1 week PTO, maybe 2 weeks. Not even period. Most of you, yeah. Not even most people, probably that's like half maybe. And we're making,
I have 4 months of the year that I'm not allowed to take any PTO. I'm not allowed to take PTO in December, March, June, September. Think about like the military people that like literally have to plan like a year and a half in advance for a week off, for like a week vacation.
And we're making 0.00001% of what you're making. So it's like, show that you care. Like, and a lot of people were making fun of, I think was the Clippers game, whichever game we lost a while ago or a couple weeks ago, and Russell ended up getting like 24 in the fourth or something insane like that. And everyone was like, Russell stat padding. And I'm like, no, he's showing the young guys that you don't give up is what I took from it. And if he was trying to get a triple,
like, care.
And that's what someone pissed me off, because they said last night, like, oh, Jokic still like stat padding in a loss, and I to get a 20th rebound. And I was like, first of all, Jokic already has like 6 of these games. It's not even like a new record for him. Jokic is not the coach, so he doesn't choose to be in there. And I'm like, I'm sorry, he's the only one who scores on our team lately. So I'm like, is the one scorer just supposed to like not score because you think he's stat? I'm like, he was like sometimes like trying to get people going, and then, you know, we'd turn the ball over and get an immediate three. It's just like, they don't rebound. The amount of offensive rebounds for open look threes in the this season is just disgusting. Like, our defensive rebounding.
I feel like offensive rebounds for us has been like really sad. I'm like, you're getting literally like 7 a game.
It's like,
but you're shooting 40%.
We're not sharing the ball. No, Jamal's not Jamal. So Michael is literally the only one who's putting up 3-pointers, except for Julian, who is literally the most defensive liability, probably the worst defender I've ever seen in my entire life.
Ever.
Liability. so you can't even really have him out there. Okay. So you don't shoot threes, which is the new NBA, and you're screwed, but you don't perimeter defend. It's the new NBA. Everyone's shooting threes. If you're not going to shoot threes, at least stop them from shooting threes. That's the only one reason we won against the Celtics last year. We weren't we won against them making like three threes the whole game. But luckily, like, and I don't think Christian Brown's a bad defender, but he's not doing what KCP did in these past several games. Like, I don't know what it is because the only difference is
I've been watching him. Yeah. And I was going to say, I've been watching Christian Brown because I feel like he's one of the people that like we can always count on to put forth effort, especially on the defensive end. Exactly. What I've been watching though is that like he's been fouling 3-point shooters a lot, or just like not closing out properly. And I think that's maybe just like a young guy thing. I mean,
it seems like all of them are doing that.
Yes, I was gonna say none of them are closing out properly, but he is like someone that's like so like hype up on defense all the time that he is fouling 3-point shooters because there are times where he lands in their landing space or where he like falls into their landing space. And so they get, you know, the extra points on that. And I feel like he's been getting better about it though. There are some plays where I see him like throw a hand up and then run behind them and try to get out of their landing space. But it's hard. Like I said, when you're the only one putting forth effort and you're like super hype, it is hard to close out. But like, that's one of the most important things. I just remember when I played basketball, my coach yelling at us, we had drills, 3-point closeout drills, where we would all just like start in the paint and sprint out to a 3-point shooter and try to block their shot. And one of the only things that my coach would scream is like, close out and keep your feet. Keep your feet, keep your feet, keep your feet. Because if you jump and you land in their landing space or you slap their arm, like you need to learn to like sprint up, close out, hands in their face, make it hard for them. No, you don't have to.
No one on the Nuggets is doing that. Like when
that's
you
what
watch,
I'm saying. No one is when closing you watch out. The Nuggets, it's so frustrating.
And when you watch them half the time, they're just looking in the paint. They're not even like keeping their eyes on there. So I'm like, what are you like? Nope. This isn't your job. Stop looking at the paint. Yeah. The guy who's defending in the paint can work on that. Like, you're allowing, I think they shot 22 threes last night and everyone's like, well, of course, like, I mean, of course they shot at such a high percentage. They're not taking that many and they're not making that many if someone has their hand in your face. Okay. Yep. Like not Period. Everyone is Michael Porter Jr. who is 6'11 and pulls up above you to shoot over you. Okay.
I just think like the thing that they're not understanding and like, I don't care if it's like that they're shooting really well. They're shooting really well because you're giving them open looks. It is much harder to
Everyone's
shoot
like,
that
well.
Well,
they just got lucky that they're shooting 50%. I'm like, no, it's wide open. It's wide open.
No, and that's what I was going to say is like when you watch certain games and there are absolutely certain games where like, I tell you this all the time, good defense, better offense. Like there are times where like you could be playing great defense, hand in the face and you know, Steph Curry drains a shot over your head. There's nothing you can do about that. And
there
I
were
will
plenty
always
of times
admit that.
On Tuesday where I thought I was like, that was really good defensive play. He made the shot, but it wasn't his fault. You know what I mean?
The defensive, great defense, better offense. Unfortunately, that does happen often,
but he made it.
Exactly. And but I think that like that's what people forget is that like they will make less tough shots. If you're giving them easy shots, they're going to make a crap ton of them. And if you're going to give up and not guard them because they're making all these shots, that's on you. They're going to make less of those shots when your hand is in their face and when you're closing out and when you're making it hard for them. So I think like that's my biggest qualm. I mean, Nikola Jokic is incredible. I always appreciate Christian Brown and his effort. MPJ, I feel like, is having a good season, in my humble opinion. I feel like he's been one of those guys that we really can lean on, and I like seeing these better defensive games from him. I'm really proud of AG. I'm glad he's back, and I hope he kind of falls back into his place.
I love like the bully ball. I just love AG.
I know. So
and that's why
for me,
it hurts.
It's Jamal.
It hurts to see like AG and Jokic looking like down and frustrated because I want them to be happy and I love them
and
so
they
much.
Should
but
be
yeah.
happy.
But Jamal,
they could. They have the ability to be a fantastic team, and it's just
Jamal
a matter of
too
like
too slow. He can't drive past anyone anymore. He can't get around anyone anymore to get to the basket, and he can't guard anyone because they get around him to get to the basket. He's a mark now, and like literally, like it's like he doesn't care. And Yeah, no, but I need the perimeter defense like all around. Like, I'm so sick of watching guys like, it seems like they're so lost on defense. Their transition defense is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. They all get there and no one's in their spots, and then someone has an open three, and then they're like running last minute and put their hand up. That doesn't matter, okay? The shot's gone. Yep. You doing this doesn't make me think you put in any effort. So it's like this, like they have to make a trade, first of all. And I hate to say it, but
they must.
The guys at TMDR are right. Like Julian Strother is probably the first one up because he's making some threes, but like you're so detrimental on defense and you're not making and like shooting enough threes or like doing enough that like it's just not worth it at this point. And it's totally. Like, why do we only have six real guys at this point in the season? It's disgusting. You
barely
have all these shitty contracts. You have Zeke Nagy, who does nothing for us, Dario Saric, who does nothing for us. Vlatko Chanchar was healthy for two games, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. And he's already gone. So I'm like, we have, and then DeAndre Jordan, you didn't even use him. Like, so what is it? Why do we have four or five roster spots that don't even matter? And you just gave $208 million to someone who hasn't even had a 30-point game.
And he doesn't care. I think that's so frustrating to me. Like, I was saying that, like, all I want is a shot to start falling, because like when a shot starts falling, I think that that's going to help like a ton just like for general wins. But like, he doesn't care.
Well, I'm like, Jokic doesn't want to average a 30-point triple-double. Jokic would rather average a 30-assist triple-double, okay?
Literally.
And there's no one to assist to. And half the reason, like, he would have gotten a triple-double, in my opinion, every game if people would make their shots. So I'm like, I know Russell Westbrook obviously isn't offensively the best, but he's getting the ball to Jokic and he's creating for other people.
I was literally saying that yesterday while watching the game. I was like, I really like Russell Westbrook and I'm really glad that we have him.
Oh my God,
because with Jamal playing like he is, I feel like Russell Westbrook has really stepped up and been the guy to help facilitate and to help make shots for other people.
And it looks like he cares. I see him get the
ball. He does care. And I see him get the ball to Jokic, and him and Jokic is like my favorite right now. Like, I love them together on the court. It just makes me really mad to watch. I just, I don't like bad attitudes. I'm someone that's like,
I hate bad attitudes.
I'm sorry, but like I worked at a mental health facility for 2 years when I was 19 years old. And I was working with grown adults at 19 years old who were on drugs, who had severe mental health disorders. And I was assaulted. I was harassed. It was a very hard job. And I showed up every GD day with a smile on my face, ready to go, because that is my job and that's what I'm there to be. I'm paid to do that. And I showed up with a good attitude every day. And that's not like I'm so incredible. But I'm just saying that like you have such a good circumstance. You're making $50 million in a year.
You have the coolest job in the world.
Yes, you have the most incredible job in the world. And there are people that look up to you, and there are people that watch you every single day and are rooting for you. And you're a part of a team with the best player in the world. And like I said, you're making millions and millions and millions of dollars. Put a freaking smile on your face. Like, remember why you love the game. Bring back the passion and the joy, because like, it's just embarrassing to watch at this point. It's cringy and I don't like it.
It's not fair to Jokic, who, you know,
it's not fair to their whole team. It's not fair that he's like this. I agree. I'm with you.
But it's just not fair, like, that you have, like, two to three guys putting in effort and no one else.
Yep.
Like, someone's trying to call a team huddle and you ignore him, I will literally fight you with my fists.
Meet me outside.
Anyway.
Jordan Clarkson your ass.
Right now.
Oh, Jordan Clarkson your ass right now, boy.
So I'm sorry for that rant. That's why we saved them for the end, because I had a lot to say. And again, they have to make a trade. I'm sorry. You saw what the Mavs did. The Mavs were they were in the same position we were. They needed, like, they got two guys that changed the trajectory of their season, and they went to the finals. They didn't win, but they were against the Celtics. I'm just saying, do I trust Calvin Booth to make the correct trade? No, not the way that he's handled contracts, and I don't even know if he's made a good trade ever. We'll see. I don't know. I'm scared. Yeah. It just sucks. Too. It's not fun watching my team anymore. The ball's not like there's no joy, and
the ball isn't balling. Mm-mm. No, no sorry,
Bob. Feels good to get that off my chest.
I'm glad. I'm glad you were able to.
I was just like sitting there last night and like everyone, some people are mean to me and like, why are you crying over? And I'm like, I'm just upset. Like this is like every other day. I like get so excited.
You're allowed to cry over a loss the way that guys break TVs and punch holes.
Makes me happy. Yeah. Basketball makes me happy. Okay. And there's nothing that brings me more joy usually than when the Nuggets are playing Nuggets brand of basketball and they haven't been playing that. So it's just sad. It's like, I just wasted 2.5 hours of my life to watch bad attitudes.
Yep. I agree. I'm with you. It's sad. Yeah. Hopefully they figure it out.
But yeah, I told Caitlin I needed to keep this an hour because I have to drive up to the mountains and that didn't happen, but we had a lot to talk about. So
sorry, everyone.
So we love you guys. Thanks for being here. We're so happy you're here. If you're new here, welcome. If you're not new here, welcome back. We are on all the socials, all the TikToks and the Twitters and the things. And it's
Instagram,
all down below.
Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, yeah. X, YouTube. And if you are here right now and you haven't subscribed to us and you haven't and you haven't like commented to say hello to me, what are you doing?
We love to talk to you guys. We love talking to you guys in the comments. So please comment below, comment your thoughts, opinions, all the good stuff. We will see y'all on Monday, probably after the weekend games, and have some more updates for you. Hopefully some crazy games happen. Hopefully the Nuggets lose to the Wizards, but we will see.
We shall see. It'll be good. But like Spencer said, we are so happy you're here. We're so happy to be here. And we will see you guys soon.
Sayonara. Bye. I feel like we ended that on such like a depressing note.
I know. And now we're all like sad. We're like,
Caitlin, love you.
We're like...